CBSI and the World, I'm John Batchelor. Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, 1776. Easy to remember, hard to understand, which is why I need David Henderson of the Hoover Institution to help me understand a debate that David has witnessed over many years, writing about again on his blog about a term of art in economics. There's Adam Smith, and then there's comparative advantage. And maybe the worlds exist together, maybe they don't. David, a very good evening to you. It's great fun to plunge into the English language and say, what does that mean?
Yes.
The quote we have from, and you stipulate, this is page 478 to 479 of the Edwin Cannon version of Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, 1776. I read, "What is prudence in the conduct of every private family can scarce be folly in that of a great kingdom. If a foreign country can supply us with a commodity cheaper than we ourselves can make it, better buy it of them with some part of the produce of our own industry employed in a way in which we have some advantage." End quote. David, the question is that comparative advantage? And we better do some definition because we now have to talk about also two famous men in economics, James Mill and David Ricardo. What is comparative advantage? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So comparative advantage refers to a country having advantage versus another country in producing a particular good. And Ricardo's insight is that the way you would tell what comparative advantage is to look not at the inputs, but to look at what was given up in producing. So his famous example was wine in Portugal versus cloth in Britain. And in Portugal, their cost of producing wine in terms of the amount of cloth they couldn't produce with those same inputs was low. Whereas in Britain, the cost of producing wine in terms of giving up production of cloth was high. And therefore, you should see and did see Britain exchanging cloth for wine. Portugal exchanging wine for cloth. And so that's comparative advantage. And what I thought I saw in that quote, once I saw the word advantage in my blog post, I said, aha, Smith never used comparative, but he had the idea. And there's an economist who I also recommend you interview from time to time because he's very good, named Don Boudreau, who came on as a commenter and schooled me, as they say, but did it very nicely. And explain, no, you know, I would love to say that Adam Smith had that idea in mind, but Adam Smith was looking at inputs into production, not at the what we call the opportunity cost, the items given up that would have been produced.
Detail here. In the quote, Adam Smith writes, cheaper. How to interpret the word cheaper in terms of this debate? Cheaper, is that significant, that word?
Well, it is significant. It turns out it's not significant for this debate as I thought it was, because he did mean cheaper in terms of the inputs into the production process. There's no real evidence. He was looking at what's given up, what's the opportunity cost, what could have been done with those resources. I mean, we get to the same bottom line, that if it's cheaper for us to do it, we should do it. If it's more expensive for us to do it, we shouldn't do it and should buy it from someone else.
As I understand this as an amateur, you're talking about what the labor force would do if it wasn't doing this. And is there something that is more prosperous than winemaking or cloth making? And therefore, it doesn't signify how cheaply you make it or how cheaply you sell it. What matters is what you could have done with your specialization. That's important, isn't it, David? The specialization of the workforce.
Yes, but that comparative advantage does show up in prices, so it ultimately will be an issue of what's cheaper, unless you have tariffs.
Let me use an example that is now dominating the Bloomberg page. The People's Republic of China, one more time, they did this with solar panels, they're doing it again, have figured out what is hot in the consumer market of the United States and Europe. And so they're producing like a conveyor belt. They're producing an electric vehicle called a BYD, or made by BYD. And the report, anyway, is that they're flooding Europe. Now, do they have a comparative advantage? What do we need to know? Because I've suddenly realized that it might not be a comparative advantage because it's being sold cheaper, because it might be that they could have done something else with their workforce.
Yes, that's why I say comparative advantage does show up in prices. So I would say they have a comparative advantage on the assumption that they are not getting some special huge subsidy from the Chinese government that's distorting things. But I don't think any subsidy would be so large, given the prices of the BYD vehicles, that it would, that it's, you know, the subsidy wouldn't be so large as to make them that cheap. So I do believe, based on what I've seen, that indeed China does, BYD, China does have a comparative advantage in electric vehicles.
Now, the puzzle for me is, does it really matter who the worker is, what the worker is, what the specialization is? If you have a group of people who are adept, very adept at farming, that's an advantage. If you have a group of people who are adept at shoemaking, that's an advantage. And if you make the shoemakers into farmers, aren't you damaging your prospects?
You are. And David Friedman, the son of Milton Friedman, had a famous little riddle. How do you produce cheap cars in Iowa, grow corn, and trade it to Japan for cars? That illustrates comparative advantage, illustrates cheap, illustrates cost, does all those things.
So we don't we can't ultimately know whether China has a comparative advantage, because we don't know what that workforce could have been producing. For immediately it springs to my mind the ghost cities. For years they applied their construction skills to building cities that nobody lives in, that nobody wants to live in, because the windows were never installed. The wind is blowing through them. So you could say while they were building them, they had a comparative advantage, but in fact, they didn't at all. That workforce could have been used to produce something that was substantive, that people wanted, that people could keep with them for years. Isn't that correct, David?
That is correct. But now back to cars, they are producing things that people in Europe do want. So that strongly suggests that China has a comparative advantage. And by the way, just one other thing I want to add. We hear so much about climate change. We hear so much about using EVs. The real test of American politicians and their belief in global warming is, are they willing to let those cars in without a tariff on them? Because if they aren't, they don't really worry too much about global warming.
And the man himself, Adam Smith, it is no mark on his memory that he didn't use the term comparative advantage, correct?
That is correct. I mean, he was one of the founders of modern economics. You can't expect him to get everything right. The amazing thing is how much he got right.
David Henderson for the Hoover Institution, Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.